Before we get into it, let's make our confession of faith together. Hold up your Bible. Hold up your device. Say it with me. This is my Bible. I am what it says that I am. I can do what it says that I can do. I can have what it says that I can have. Today, I will be taught the uncompromised Word of God. My mind, it's alert. My heart, it's receptive. I'll not leave the same as I came in Jesus' name. And every time I come to church on the rock, my faith, my life gets stronger. In Jesus' name. Give him a big shout, would you? Amen. Amen. I sure do love you. Boy, I love this church. I love you all. Amen. You know, we're talking about praying first. We're in a 21-day fast. And like Kim said, if you haven't signed up, if you haven't been with us, welcome. We want you to join us. You can go to cotr.life. There's a daily journal that we prepared for you. There's a daily devotional that I prepared for you. And we've got resources there to help you on how to fast, how to start one, go off one, what the different kinds of fast. We have all kinds of resources to be a blessing to you to make this the best experience you've ever had with God. 21-day fast. We're actually tithing the first month of the year, so God will bless the next 11 months of our year. So I've been talking about prayer in this fast. I've been teaching on prayer. Wednesday night, I taught on the prayer that saved my life. The prayer that saved my life from destruction. I taught on that Wednesday night. Last weekend, we talked about how that we should pray every morning, right? Every morning, early in the morning. And I told you at the beginning of the month, you remember, if those of you that were with me, that I said, if I could just get everybody in our church, find a place every morning, find a time every morning, take a Bible, that our church would be stronger at the end of the year. Yeah? Do y'all remember that? This company, this data company that gives you a data, they said in a 5-mile radius of Church on the Rock, in a 5-mile radius of Church on the Rock, only 9%, listen to this, Margaret, only 9% of the people pray. Now you say, I know people who pray, but not every day. They're talking about people who pray every day. Only 9% of the people within a 5-mile radius of Church on the Rock pray every day. Could you see now why this series is the right? Now, we give God all the glory, right? We give the Holy Spirit. We thank the Holy Spirit. But can you see that our series we're talking about right now is the right now word? To teach people how to pray, that means, folks, listen very carefully. Within a 5-mile radius of our church, only 1 out of 10 people pray. Only 1 out of 10 people pray every day. Or there are people who pray when they get in a fix. We call it a foxhole prayer. There are people, you know, when they get in trouble, but we're talking about people who pray every day. Now do you know why I made the challenge that if I could get everybody in our church, the thousands of people who call this their church home, if I could get them just to have a time every morning, every day, and a place every day, and bring their Bible, we don't have to have a degree in prayer. We just need a time and a place and bring our Bible, that we'll be a stronger church at the end of this year. People won't even recognize when they walk in here. Oh, praise God. You know, people walk on our campus, I can see them getting healed, restored, set free, receive Christ. Just getting on the parking lot, because the presence of God is so rich, so real at our church. So now do you know why I'm teaching on it? Is if only 9% of the population in a 5-mile radius of our church pray, then somebody needs to teach on prayer. Somebody needs to teach on it, not in a way that it's pressuring people, but help people get a revelation. That's key, folks. A revelation of the privilege of prayer. See, if all you have is just a ritual of prayer, then you'll pray once in a while. But if you have a revelation of prayer and what it is and what it does and what it means, you get a revelation, people can't keep you away from God. Everybody say a revelation of prayer. Amen. Y'all ready? So with that in mind, now, it's a whole lot different here in 2018 than it was in the 80s. When I was teaching a prayer series in the 80s, it was a whole lot different in our community than it is today. It's pastoring is totally different than when I pastored here in the 80s. So now, think about it. According to this data, fresh data, only 9%. We're talking about every day. Now, there are more people than that pray, but not every day. That pray, only 9%, only 1 out of 10. I say we have our job cut out for us. And do you realize if they said that 47% of people in a 5-mile radius take an antidepressant, I think we got the right message. A message of hope. Hey, God is for you. God has a we're telling people who are hopeless, God has a hope for them. Well, I'm excited, aren't you? Be in the right church at the right place at the right time. God doesn't want us to be the church across town. You can never compare that. It's like you comparing your marriage to another marriage. And let me just tell you, you do not want to do that. And you know what? Same way with churches. Every church has a personality. Every church has a purpose. Every church has a mission. Every church has a people group that they reach. And we just want to do our best what God's called us to do. Amen. John chapter 16. Would you look there with me? New Testament, the Gospel of John. John chapter 16. John chapter 16, and look with me there, if you would, at verse 23. The Gospel of John, New Testament. Jesus is talking. John 16 and verse number 23. Here's what Jesus said. It's in red letter, John 16, 23. And in that day, you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask what? The Father in my name, and he will give it to you. Now, folks, this is why I'm teaching the very basics, very foundation, because if only 9% of people in our community pray, somebody needs to teach them how to pray and where to start and a good foundation and make it a habit. So I hear people praying to Mary. Now, I love that denomination, but that's wrong. Bible doesn't say pray to Mary. Doesn't say pray to a pope or a preacher, pastor or a bishop. Doesn't say pray to a statue or a picture or stained glass, right? You don't pray to Buddha. You don't pray to Mary. You don't pray to a man or a woman. Who are we to pray to? The Father in the name of Jesus, and he will give it to you. Now, I've been around for a long time, and I listen to Christians pray, and I hear a lot of Christians praying wrong. Because I don't hear him going to the Father. I don't hear him going to the Father. You don't even pray to Jesus. You pray to the Father in Jesus' name. He's the mediator. He's the one that signed the blank check. Right? He's the one that set us free and redeemed us from poverty, sickness, and eternal death. He's the one that gave us this covenant that you and I are in today. So notice it says we're to pray to the Father in the name of Jesus, and he'll give it to you. So who do you pray to? The Father. And who do you pray in the name of Jesus? Verse 24, Jesus is talking. Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name, but ask that you shall receive that your joy might be full. Now he's still talking about prayer, right? And he says, ask. You have not because you ask not. But notice only 9% in our immediate 5-mile area are praying every day. So I would say we as a community need to get a revelation of what prayer is. It's more than duty. It should be a delight. It's more than ritual. It should be a relationship. Come on, somebody. And when you got a revelation of it, your prayer life will take off like a rocket ship. And he said, I want you to pray. And he said, I want to give you answers to your prayers so that your joy might be full. So I'm going to give you a major statement, a major thought. You and I, if we want an effective prayer life, we've got to be in the presence of God. What do you mean, Pastor? I don't get it. Let me say it again. If you and I want an effective prayer life, before we ask any petition, before we say, God, Father, my name is Jimmy, 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 gimme, gimme, gimme. Before we ask him for anything, before we petition anything, We've got to make sure we're in his presence. Because in his presence is fullness of joy. And he said, ask, and I want you to receive so that your joy will be full and overflowing. So if you I want an effective prayer life, first of all, before we ask him for petitions, we've got to get in his presence. And how do you get in his presence? Through praise and worship. Let us enter his courts with thanksgiving and praise. You know, for Kim and I to have a good relationship, this year it'll be 45 years. For us to have a good relationship, I got to be in her presence. I'm coming over here. In other words, if all I do to that woman is text her, I'm headed for counseling. If all I do is Facebook her, if all I do is on the way, I just Instagram her, I'm on my way to marriage counseling after 45 years. You know, I got to get in her presence. I got to see her face. I got to see her face. I want to see her reactions. You know, a lot of times you and I both know we've texted people, and sometimes their text can come wrong not the way it was meant, right? Because you're not in their presence. So same way, take that analogy, I got to get in God's presence. I got to get in his presence if I want an effective prayer life. Prayer is communicating with God. So how do I get in his presence? He inhabits the praises of his people. So before we ever ask him for anything, we begin to praise him and thank him for what he's done already, for what he's doing. He's working behind the scenes. For what he's planning, a great future for you. This is going to be the best year of your life. And we just begin to thank him and praise him and have a gratitude walk and the attitude of thankfulness. And that's where you start. Amen? That's where you start, is getting into God's presence. Because prayer should be face-to-face with God, heart-to-heart with God. Face-to-face, heart-to-heart, that's what it should be. And to do that, you got to praise him. You got to spend time worshiping him and thanking him and get in his presence. Amen, church. Go to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18, would you please? Ephesians 6 and verse 18. Ephesians 6 and verse 18. And here's what the Bible says. Praying sometimes. Praying always. Well, I don't like to pray. Well, I'm going to help you with that. Because here is what you need. A revelation of what the prayer life, prayer walk is. A revelation of that. And notice 9%, this company that gives us data, said in a 5-mile radius, 9%. Folks, that's 1 out of 10 that prays. And what's God's will? That we should pray always. Pastor, I can't pray always. I got to go to work. What that means is the mindset that you're in communion with God throughout the day. Amen, somebody. It's an attitude. So he says, praying always with all prayer. Now, in the Greek language, it says all kinds of prayer. I had people, Margaret, walk out last night, 5 o'clock service, and tell me they'd never heard that before in all their life, that there were different kinds of prayer. And here the Bible says that we're to pray with all different kinds. Say different kinds. Different kinds of prayer. A lot of people, the majority of people, I would say, if only 9% within 5-mile radius of our church are praying, they haven't a clue what you're hearing today. That there are different kinds of prayer. Wednesday night, I taught on the prayer that saved my life. It's called the prayer of consecration. The prayer of consecration. The prayer, that's that prayer where you pray, God, you dedicate your life, you consecrate your life. This is the prayer you pray every day. I've been asking you to send me questions, and the number one question above every other question, Neil, is this. Out of our congregation, they're saying, Pastor, I don't understand. I hear some preachers say you can only pray one prayer one time, but yet I read in the Bible that we're to pray all the time. Over and over again, would you please explain? That's what I'm doing right now. Is there different kinds of prayers? There are some prayers that you only pray once, and if you pray it a second time, it's an unbelief. There are other prayers that you pray every day. The prayer that saved my life, the prayer of consecration that I taught last Wednesday night in this church, that's the prayer that you pray before you pray any other prayer. Before you pray an intercessory prayer, a binding and loosing, the prayer of agreement, the prayer of thanksgiving, the prayer of petition, the prayer of supplication, before you pray any other prayer, the first prayer every morning, every day of our life should be the prayer of consecration. That's where you daily are dedicating, consecrating your life unto God. You're saying, God, not my way today, but God, your way. God, not my will, but God, your will today. God, I don't want my plan. God, I want your plan. God, I want the people you want in my life. I want to make the decisions you want me to make today. God, I want to be at the right place at the right time. I want divine connections. I want inspired ideas. So before I petition you, God, I am going to consecrate, dedicate, set my life apart, and pray the prayer of consecration. Okay, now you pray that prayer first before you pray any other prayer, for prayer to be effective. So there are different kinds of prayer. And then he says, notice, and, so there's two categories, different kinds of prayer. And by the way, this is the seventh piece in the armor of God. The armor of God has seven pieces listed here. And seven is the number for perfection in the Bible. And the seventh piece is called the spear. They had a spear. It's the spear of prayer. And a spear has a point on it, right? And the point is to hit the target. So our prayer life is to hit the target every time we pray. So he says here that we're to pray with all different kinds of prayer, and why so many people are unhappy with their prayer life, disgruntled with their prayer life, it's dead, it's boring, it's dutiful, it's a duty, is because they don't understand that you can't play hockey with football rules. You can't play golf with polo rules. You can't play tennis with baseball rules. Every sport has a rule. Every prayer has a rule. You say sports, but there are many different kinds of sports. You say prayer, but there are many different kinds of prayer. And some people aren't hitting the target, aren't getting the answers, because they're using the wrong rules on that particular prayer. So he says all kinds of prayer and supplication in the Spirit, capital S, would be the Holy Spirit. That's talking about praying in tongues, a spiritual language, a heavenly language, praying in the Spirit. And then he says that once you do that, once we pray and learn how to pray these different kinds of prayers and the way they were meant to be prayed, you should be watching. You should be expecting. You should be confident that God heard you and the answer is on the way. Amen, church? Now today, let's go to Mark 11, 23 and 24. I want to talk to you about a certain kind of prayer. It's called the prayer of faith. The prayer of faith. Now, Pastor, shouldn't we pray in faith in every prayer? Correct. Every prayer we pray should consist of faith. But that's not what this is talking about. This is the prayer of faith. The prayer of faith. And this prayer has to be prayed a certain way for it to work in our life. It's called the prayer of faith. Now look at Mark 11, verse 23. If you're there, say, I'm there. Mark 11, verse 23. Jesus said, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain. Now, mountain here represents adversity in all of our life. Problems, obstacles in the way. And notice that verse 23 is not about praying. Verse 23 has nothing to do with praying. Verse 23 is about saying. 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 Verse 23 is about saying. Verse 24 is about praying. Verse 23 is about saying. Verse 24 is about praying. Verse 23 is about speaking to your problem. Verse 24 is about praying the promise. You with me? So look at verse 23. Verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart. Notice, circle the word heart. It doesn't say your head. It says your heart. Faith is of the heart. Belief is of the heart, and unbelief is of the heart. Belief is of the heart. We're not talking about your organ. We're talking about your spirit. So faith comes from the heart. Faith is in the heart. Belief is in the heart. You believe out of your heart, not your head. You believe out of your heart, not your head. So notice, and you shall not doubt in your heart. So unbelief can be in our heart, or belief can be in our heart. But you shall believe that those things which you say shall come to pass. You will have whatsoever you say. Now, family, notice with me, three times in that verse, it says say or saith. Three times. One time it says believe. One time it says belief. Three times it says say or saith. That means you need to be speaking three times as much as what you are believing. Because what you are saying, you will eventually be believing. If you're saying unbelief, you're putting that in your heart. If you're saying faith or belief, you're putting that in your heart. Are you with me? So words do matter. So it says here, it focuses on your confession over your possession. It focuses on your confession over your possession. You with me, family? In other words, three times in that verse, it mentions, it targets, it brings to us, we should be monitoring what we are saying. Three times saying, one time believing. Notice you don't pray to the mountain to move. You take your God-given authority in the name of Jesus, and you speak to your mountain. If you're not speaking to your problems will stay in your life. You got to speak to it and command it to be removed out of your life and cast into the sea. So if you want your problems out of your life, you're going to have to start speaking to the mountain, confessing, declaring, decreeing God's word to the mountain, to the problem. You say to the problem, but you pray the promise in the next verse. Are you with me, church? You and I are not to pray to God, God move that problem. You are to take your God-given authority, the name of Jesus, and you are to speak to your problems. You are to speak to your problems. So many people pray their problems, pray their problems, pray their problems. You're not to pray your problem. You're to speak to your problem. That's why your problem hasn't moved out of your life. That's why that addiction, that hang-up, that hurt, that regret, that pain is still tormenting you because you're allowing it to stay. You're to take your God-given authority. Verse 23 is saying, verse 24 is praying. You are not to pray the problem, you're to pray the promise. You are not to pray to the problem, you're to speak to the problem. Amen, church. All right? So again, he says in verse 23, for verily I say unto you that whosoever shall speak to this mountain, say, be thou removed, be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in your heart. See, what's in your heart determines how your life goes. What's in your spirit, what you've been feeding your spirit. I don't understand it, Pastor. What you've been looking at this week, what you've been listening to, and what you've been saying is in your heart. And what's in your heart determines the level of life you live on. So he says there again, you shall believe, it will come to pass, and you'll have whatsoever you say. Now we go to verse 24. It's called the prayer of faith. What's it called? What's it called, church? The prayer of, now remember, 9% of people within a 5-mile radius of this church don't know how to pray. Okay? All right? So only 9% does. That means 1 out of 10. So let's look at verse 24. Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, when you pray, when you pray, when you pray, not when you feel it, not when you see it, not when the circumstances change, but when you pray, believe, past tense, you receive them and you shall have them. Now, family, I think this is going to help us, but Mark 11, 24 is called what? I forgot already. The you cannot, I cannot pray the prayer of faith for other people. You can only pray the prayer of faith for yourself. You can pray the prayer of agreement with somebody else, but you cannot. You can pray intercessory prayer for somebody else. You can have supplication for somebody else, but you cannot pray. You know, people say, well, I'll pray the prayer of faith for you. Not biblical. The prayer of faith is a prayer you can only pray for you. Now, we're to pray in faith every prayer. Can I have a witness? But the prayer of faith, you can only pray for yourself. Let me show you. Verse 24. Therefore, I say unto who? You. Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever who? You desire. When you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. You cannot pray the prayer of faith. You cannot pray this prayer for other people in the prayer line. You cannot pray it for your family. You can only pray the prayer of faith for you because you don't know what's going on in their life. You can't claim something that they don't want. You can't pray the prayer of faith for them, but sure enough, bless God, you can pray it for yourself. This is a prayer that you can only pray for yourself. And listen up, family. This is a prayer you only pray once. Well, Pastor, what do? It's followed up with the prayer of thanksgiving. Now, remember, you can only pray for yourself. Let me give you an illustration. Father, I come to you in Jesus' name. And Father, your word says that you want me to enjoy my job, my career. Father, your word says that everything my hand would touch would prosper. Father, you said you redeem me from poverty. You said you give me favor in the marketplace. So Father, I ask you in 2018 to give me the biggest raise I've ever received. God, I ask you to give me a raise like I've never got before. And I pray right now in the name of Jesus. And I believe, I receive when I pray. I take it right now. It's mine in Jesus' name. Never pray that again this year. What you do is thank you, Father. Man, tomorrow you go to work and boy, all hell comes against you. Hell, I just prayed yesterday. Thank you, Lord. Father, the prayer of thanksgiving, I believe I received when I prayed. I took it, God. I don't walk by what I see. I walk by what I believe. And I'm going to keep confessing it and thank you for it, that this is the year of increase for me. This is the year where I'm going to get a bonus and a raise out of this world. Father, I prayed. I prayed for myself. I prayed the prayer of faith. I believed I received it when I prayed, not when I was called into the HR office. When I prayed. So now I'm not going to pray it again, God, because I believe you heard me when I prayed. So God, I'm just going to thank you. I'm just going to thank you. I'm going to praise you. No matter what it looks like, no matter how long it takes, I believe, I receive, it's mine, Jesus' name, Honolulu. Come on, somebody, give the Lord a praise. That is how the prayer of faith works as the team comes out. Am I helping anybody today? Oh, now, for sake of time, I want to show you, I want to leave you because I love you. I want to show you how the prayer of faith, the mechanics, the composites, the parts. I want to show you. If you're a note taker, just write this down. Proverbs 4, verse 20 through 24. Proverbs 4, verses 20 through 24. This is how you build a prayer of faith. Romans chapter 10, verse 6 and 8. Romans chapter 10, verses 6 and 8. This is how you build the prayer of faith. Remember, Mark 11, 23 is saying, it's not a prayer. Mark 11, 24 is praying. You say, you speak to the problem, but then you pray the promise. Amen. You speak to the problem, but you pray the promise. And you pray it for you, not somebody else. It's when you pray, you believe, you receive. Well, Pastor, I just can't believe for a raise. Then here's what you do. Go to Proverbs 4, verse 20 through 24. Get the word in front of your eyes. Read the Bible through with your pastor. We as a church are reading the Bible through together. It's the chronological Bible. This morning, it was Job, okay? I read it about 5:45, walking my dog, okay? And so we're in the chronological Bible, and if we'll do it together as a church, we'll be stronger at the end of the year as a church. But what you do is you get the word before your eye, you get it coming out your mouth, you get it in your ear, then you're going to get it in your heart. And then now you believe, so now you're ready to pray for that raise. Don't run into and pray for that raise until you can believe for that raise. Well, I didn't need a raise. Get in front of the cheese line, because that's where you're going. Come on, somebody. So what we do last week is we prepare ourselves. We prepare ourselves. Man, what do you want to happen this year? Start preparing yourself now before you pray. We're talking about the prayer of faith, that you can only pray for yourself. And you only pray, if it's a prayer of faith, God heard you, you don't got to repeat it. You just follow it up every day until it manifests with the prayer of thanksgiving.